You can give God some praise, would you? I think you can do better than that, actually. He's only the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What a great day. It's unbelievable Sunday so far. I just want to take a second and just welcome all of those that are in the building here today. Got some family, lots of family of mine actually in the room, which is fun and exciting. Got some friends from out of the country visiting, just all kinds of great things happening for me personally. So I'm just really kind of relishing and enjoying this. Also want to welcome all of you tuning in online. Love that you are connected digitally. Really, really appreciate you just staying connected with us. In fact, I spoke to somebody just this morning that said for 14 months, I've been watching every single Sunday. This was my first Sunday back. I feel comfortable being back in the building. Yeah, which is awesome. I think that's great. I just want to say to our online audience, here's what we know. Some people simply aren't comfortable in crowds yet. That's perfectly fine. Like, we honor and respect your decision to be digital. We want to make you feel as connected as possible. And so we absolutely respect and appreciate the fact that you stay connected. Others of you don't live in our state. You just love our church. Some of you attend a really awesome life-giving church. You just also like to hear from us and stay connected to what we are doing. So I just want to simply say to whomever you are, wherever you are, maybe you're home not feeling well, whatever the case may be, we love you and we're glad that you're connected. Would you give it up for those tuning in online? It's good to have you guys. Really is. It's awesome. And then lastly, I'm going to greet those in overflow. The auditorium is relatively packed. In fact, I just stepped out of my seat really quickly. I actually stand in front of a chair. I never sit in one, so there's no reason for me to block one. But for those that are in our overflow, we also welcome you and hope that our overflow is as distraction-free as possible. We do our very, very best just to serve you from there. And so I just want to welcome you also in. It's a great... I feel good, y'all. I don't even know why. I just feel so good. The energy in this place is awesome. I love, love, love Sunday. Days. I think it's the best day of the week. It's my favorite day of the week. And then just, again, just being around great people. And again, just I've got family. I've got friends all over the place. Worship was powerful. Thank you, Jordan, for leading us this morning. It was wonderful. So before we get into the message and the content of the message, I just want to kind of talk to you for a second as the church family. Is that okay if I just kind of share my heart? So here's what we're discovering at our church is that once upon a time, how many of you guys were part of a culture where you went to church 8 days a week? You went to the prayer meeting, you went to the night service, you went to the morning service, you went, come on, where y'all at? That's how I grew up. I mean, like, multiple times a week you were in the church. And then, of course, you know, just life started changing. The way that people are served started to change. We started to find, at least in our context, that people actually benefit more from groups and homes and atmospheres that are smaller, not at the church building, and it can happen over barbecue or just whatever it may be. And so life groups started to take place, you know, little gatherings like that. But what we've discovered is people don't come to church like 52 times a year, right? It just, it almost is impossible for most schedules. But then there's trends, honestly, in America where people, they just don't come to church every single week anymore. So a lot of people, they'll roll into the church building a couple times a week. They'll tune in, or a couple times a month, rather. They'll tune in online, you know, a couple times a month. And so what I want to do this morning is just sort of slow down, all right, if that's okay. I don't want to assume that everybody's just up to speed with everything that's happening in our church. There may be guests in the room, never been here before, first time. So welcome to those of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of slow down, make sure everybody's caught up to speed of where our church is, because the series we're in is really, really relevant to our house. It's very specific to us. And so I want to catch everybody up, and then we will get into today's content. Sound fair? Everybody good with that? All right. I hope so, because I don't have an alternative plan. I hope that's okay. And so here's where I want to start. 2 weeks ago, we began a series that we're calling The Rest of Your Life. And what we're focusing on is rest. And what I've been saying for weeks now, and some of you have been around the church, have kind of heard me get on this soapbox about life and culture and how our society, it just celebrates busyness and multitasking and microwave society. And like, the more that you can get done, the more applause you get. And, you know, the more tired you are, it seems to be more like a badge of honor, you know, like, oh man, I'm so exhausted. Like, man, you must be successful. And what I'm starting to personally find is that I actually think that goes against God's natural plan for our lives. I really do. And as I get into the Bible and I seek out God's word, like, what do you really say about all this? I'm finding that culture and society doesn't match God's way.
Amen. Preach.
Now, for many of us, it's like, well, duh, preacher. Hello. But for others of us, it's like, oh, hello. Like I was unaware, because even in, can I just talk a second? Because like even in church and the world of church, you're not successful unless you're in multiple services, if you have certain lights and certain paces, if you're not offering certain things. Camp, there's expectations on church life, even like a church of that number ought to be having a marriage conference by now. And my marriage has fallen. I mean, like there's all this pressure to do more all the time. And so what this whole series is about is focusing on rest, because God talks about it. God blessed it. God ordained it. God calls for it. And so what we're trying to do is just sort of get out of the, like at least for one moment and one day of the week, let's just get out of that fast-paced current that life is constantly pushing us toward. And let's just get into the Word of God and let's find out, what does the Bible have to say about the pace of my life? That's what this series is all about. So let me just, again, this is where I'm going to catch you up. A couple of weeks ago, Lauren and I, my amazing wife, she was the really beautiful one that was singing right over here this morning on the platform. She and I have been led by God to take a sabbatical starting this summer. And so we're going to be taking a 40-day extended period away from the pace and expectation of ministry. We're going to be doing some traveling, family vacation. We got a little getaway, just her and I. Come on. And then... Amen. We're going to go visit some of the churches that we draw from and that we love. We're going to hear from some people. I've got several books that I plan to read. I got so ambitious. I already started one of them, but I have more than I can read in that amount of time. So I've got several books that I'm going to read, and we're going to have some time where we're just by ourselves, and we're just not, we're not listening to the noise of the world, and we're not around other people. It's called silence and solitude, where we just get away and we just pray and just say, God, would you speak? What are you trying to say? Because what we're discovering is a couple of things, that sometimes life gets so fast and the noise gets so loud, you really can't even hear God. And so what we're doing starting June 1, that's been the question that apparently we didn't say the date a couple of weeks ago. But on June 1st, we'll start day one of 40 days. And we're going to take some time away. And here's what I want to say to you, because some of you are like, yay, like I'm glad you're resting. And then others of you are like, that's not right or fair. I don't get that. I don't know. Start a church. I don't know what to tell you there. I don't. And I apologize. I really do. But we are being pastored to do this. So we are pastors of a church, but we also have pastors in our lives, right? Like anytime you don't have a leader, you're in real trouble, just period. And so we also have people that pastor us. And so in December, after I went through a pretty rough time emotionally, and I talked about that with the church, you can go back and find that on YouTube if you want to, but just really had a real rough time. 2020 it was hard on a lot of people. I'm just saying, like, it was hard on me. And so I had a tough time. And one of the pastors in my life, he just said, I really think you need to consider taking an extended time away. You need to go on sabbatical, and that's what we're doing. So anyway, we're being pastored through that, and we have an overseeing church helping us to structure it and determine what it looks like and how we can maximize that. So it's not 40 days of vacation. It's 40 days away from the operational pressure of the church. And so here's what I'm excited about for you is this, that when we step away, we're actually going to have a series that we're calling Voices. And this series is going to be very specific, that I'm bringing in voices of people in my life. So people that have had major influence, major voice into me, and they're going to be coming and bringing the messages to you. And here's what I want to say, because I've, and this is like really nice, and I received the compliment and all that, but I've heard some people say, like, oh, well, if you're not preaching, I don't even tune in, or I really just prefer to listen to you. And here's what I'm going to say to that. Here's what, like that's really nice. And if I would allow it, it would stroke my ego, but I ain't gonna let that happen, because I'm not all that you might think I am. I'm just about as human as everybody else, you know? And so here's what I want to say, that if that's your mindset, I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to pastor you right now. Listen to me carefully. You've incredibly overestimated the power of my voice, and you've incredibly underestimated the power of other voices in your life.
Amen.
So if this is your church home, I'm going to say you should really lean in, because part of the reason that my voice has the influence perhaps that it has in you is because of these voices that you'll hear from have had such an influence in me. Does that sound good? And so I really actually want, like, I want to bait you to say you're going to get things from God through these voices that I couldn't offer you. And so God wants to speak to you and do some great things in you. So I'm just saying, prepare yourselves, get ready. You're going to hear from some of the greatest people, in my opinion, on the face of the earth. So stay connected. Amen. Does that sound good? All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to get, I got a golf clap. Three people are excited, but I'll take it. That's good. It's all good. I'm just kidding. I call people out all the time, but you know, if you cheered the whole time, I wouldn't be able to say much. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask you, if you're a note taker, there are notes in the seat backs in front of you. They're under the chair. They're available digitally. You don't have to take notes. This is up to you, by the way. I want to get into today's topic. So we've been two Sundays now where we've been talking about rest, God's plan of rest. We're going to spend the rest of this month talking about it. Today, we're going to get back into it. Installment number three. Here's where we've been starting every week. Oh, praise the Lord. We had issues technologically this morning. Here we go. It's working. We prayed over this, the production team, and it's functioning. Amen. So Jeremiah 6:16, it says this, and this is where we've started every week. It says, this is what the Lord says. So we're hearing right from God's mouth. Stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its paths and you'll find rest for your souls. And I just know, like, I don't even have to ask, but I just know that the way life is and pace and the demands of life, rest sounds good, does it not? You can say amen if you're churchy, right? All right. It sounds really good. And we've been pointing out really all these verbs, like, hey, stop. Look for this old way. Because let me tell you something. Culture is always going to pressure us to change, do different, be new. Well, God's way doesn't work because life is different. Let me tell you something. The problems that we face today are no different than the problems people have faced for all of human history. People are people. We're idiots. We repeat our problems. We don't know what we're doing. We need God's counsel, God's lead. We need the Bible to tell us how to keep ourselves in order. Amen. A train isn't free unless it's on rails. And the believer, quite frankly, isn't free unless they are on the system in which God has designed for us. Amen. And so what he's saying is like, hey, just slow down and just look for the old way, like my way. If you'll do it my way, you'll actually find rest for your souls. You'll actually discover that you can do all this. It's going to be okay. And that's what we're trying to discover. And so here's what I want to talk about today, because I want to talk about this. Like, we're actually encouraged in the Bible to work, because the whole time, everybody, as I've been preparing this series, I've been thinking about the people that are like me. I love work. I like it a lot. I like to get up and go, man. I don't like to sit around. I try to. I really do. Yesterday, case in point, we've had a really busy week. And so yesterday, we intentionally had no obligations. I did one little project thing that I really wanted to do in the morning. And then I said to myself, like, look, I'm not doing anymore. We're in a home renovation. We're on the back end of one. If you've ever done that, like, it never ends. And I was like, there's a million things I could do. And there's a bunch of things I feel like I should do. But today's a day that we just aren't doing that. And after about 30 minutes, I was like pacing. It was pacing around. Like, I don't actually want to work, but I actually don't want to sit here. And I was freaking out a little bit. I like work. I like work. All right. And so I've titled the message today this: work at your leisure. So for all of us workaholics, we're going to work at something. And what we're going to work on is our leisure, because the Bible calls us to rest. But for all of you that think that I'm preaching something against God's word, listen, with all this rest stuff, I actually want to talk about, like, I want to look at what the Bible says about work. Are you ready? The Bible has a lot to say about it. I only selected a few verses of the multiplicity of verses about work. And I love these. Example, whatever you do, what's the Bible say? Just work at it with all your heart. There it is. Just work hard as if you're working for the Lord and not for human masters. The Bible says that all hard work brings profit, right? Mere talk, it just leads to poverty. Like, don't talk about it, be about it. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share from the crop. So the Bible's like putting an emphasis that, like, hey, like, we're not saying be lazy. It's a little bit different. Okay. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work
shall not eat.
I wish America would listen.
Right.
Right there.
Amen. Is that my last one? Yeah. This thing's sensitive. Apparently I got too close, or the Holy Spirit was like, we ain't going there. 10-4. Heard. Heard. I'm just saying. I'll take it as the divine guidance of the Lord. Here's what I'm saying. That the Bible has a lot to say about working hard.
Yes.
So for those of us, and honestly, it's probably the vast majority of us that actually like our grind or appreciate like I want to achieve, I want to win, I want to do something, I want to conquer, I want to take the hill, right? Like I'm the type of guy that like I need a goal, I need a target, and I like having a target that I have to stretch for it. Like I don't want to just check stuff off my to-do list. I want to become smarter. I want to become a better leader. I want to be more efficient. I actually want to stretch to higher heights and do more things. And if last year I shot one buck, this year I want to shoot 3. Come on, say amen right there, everybody. That's part of the reason that I love to hunt deer so much. And I got a lot of deer hunting people in this service, so go with me. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, all right? I'm just saying. Part of the reason that I love it so much is because you have to work hard at it, don't you? And for those of that hunt, come on. It's hard work. And I love it. I like the summertime when I'm sweating and I'm trying to avoid rattlesnakes and spiders and like beating through the I just dig it so much. That way, when I'm up there in the fall and I'm in my tree stand, and I'm just like, because I'm freezing to death. Listen, when that moment comes together and I grab my hands around the base of those horns and I hold that thing up, I'm like, I appreciate it because of the work I did.
Amen.
I love work. Work is good for me. In fact, I'm the type of guy that I'll turn hobbies into work. I can turn hunting into something that drains me instead of something that fills me because I'm ambitious and I'm goal-oriented and I just want to reach higher heights. And so what I want to do is put all of the workaholics at ease. All right, because the Bible says go to work. Like, get up and go and work for your stuff. Earn your way. Set goals. Be a high achiever. Be very organized. Become efficient. Read a leadership book. Get better at it. Get promoted. Like, what I'm not preaching is that. All right, I'm not saying that that's not godly. What I am saying, though, is that we've got to create rhythms of rest in our lives. And I just want to get to it. So we're going to talk about the fact, like, we're encouraged to work, but we're invited to rest. It's an invitation. I'm going to talk about it a little bit today. Here we go. Just going back to the beginning of it all, we've read this verse in the series already. Genesis 2:3 says, "And God blessed the seventh day," there's the blessing on it, "and he declared it holy," meaning it's different, set apart. Okay, so this is a different kind of day than all the other days. So go to work, grind, be efficient, read the books, get the promotion, do the stuff. But there's a certain day in which I'm calling you to just make it different, right? And he says, because this was the day when he, God himself, rested from all of his what? His work. So what we see from God is this example. We see the example that God worked hard, but then we see the example that God also rested, which is interesting enough because it's like it's God. Like what? Like, and we're going to just see here in a moment, like God didn't need to rest because he was tired. God rested because he was satisfied. He looked back and said, this is really good. And I'm just going to embrace this and I'm going to enjoy this. And I don't know about you, but listen, when you're a person that's driven and goal-oriented, I find myself looking so far out front all of the time that I never celebrate anything, not in real time or in the past. And I don't think that's healthy. I had to ask, I promise you, I'm not even making this up. I had to ask someone the other day, like, this is May, right? Like, we're in May? And they're like, yeah. We're pretty early in May. Okay. Because my mind is, I'm already in August. Like, I'm preparing our series for August right now because I want to enjoy my sabbatical. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I'm so far out front that sometimes I don't pause to actually enjoy where I am. And what God is showing us is like, hey, if you'll just have a rhythm and pause every once in a while, you actually can enjoy the fruit of your labor. You can look back and say, man, God is good. Man, look at what I've achieved. Look at what I have. Look at the blessings in my life. Come on, right? Anyway, all right, time is pushing me on. Let's do it. I want to take you back to a verse that I read when Lauren and I were up here together and we started the series. It's Mark chapter 6. We're going to read 2 verses, 30 through 32. And the Bible says this, that the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So Jesus had deployed all these people out, like go and just be awesome and do ministry and heal people and, you know, cast out demons and like go, like knock it down for the kingdom, you know, go make it happen. And so they come back and they're excited. They're telling them all about it, right? We all get excited and like to talk about stuff. That's what's going on. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. And notice what he says. I want you to rest a while. Like, let's call time out. You've been pouring out. So I actually want you now to, like, let's go somewhere different. Let's have a holy day, a Sabbath day. Let's just rest for a little while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And they went away into the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Okay. So I just want to talk about this a little bit because we see a couple of things. We see that we're going to, hey, come away. We're going to go rest for a while. Then he uses this word leisure, and then they go away to be by themselves. And so here's what I want to kind of just share, I guess, with us is this. And I dug into this a little bit. I was so captivated by the word leisure that I began to dig and do a little bit of word study. And I got, you know, just kind of into this verse. And I got tools and resources that I used to try to understand, like what was being said then, because the Bible was written at that point, like this was penned in Greek. And so the difficulty there, and part of the reason, by the way, that there's so many different Bible translations, if that's ever a question that you've had, is because the Greek language and the Hebrew language, Greek New Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, they're so much more pictorial in their descriptions. And so one Greek word, for example, can have multiple English expressions or definitions to even try to articulate, like, what are they actually trying to say? Because Western communication and Eastern communication, very, very different. And so I wanted to, like, get into the language, like, what is it really saying? And here's what I discovered is that all of these things I had highlighted, these phrases and words throughout the scripture were Greek idioms. Now, not idiot, that's your brother-in-law. I'm talking about idioms, all right? Idioms, which is like, for example, like, it blew my mind. That's an idiom. Like, it didn't actually blow someone's mind. We know what they mean, that they couldn't believe it or whatever. In fact, in our team huddle this morning, someone used an idiom. They said that one of our team members is feeling under the weather. And I looked at my wife, I was like, it's an idiom, because she helped me with this, right? And I'm like, it's an idiom. To which, if he would have overheard me, he probably thought I'd called him idiot. I promise. Idiom. So, like, it's like a way that they would express, but people would understand what they mean. And so when Jesus was communicating to these apostles, I want you to come away with me, and we're going to go to a desolate place. We're going to rest a while. You need leisure. They would have understood exactly what he was trying to say. Now, it's very transparent to us because of the way that it was said, but in their world, it would have been like, all right, I got you. So, there wouldn't, have needed to be any kind of description. They would have understood that actually when he says rest a while, it actually means a small pause. It doesn't mean like an extended pause. It actually means a short one, right? So it doesn't even sound to us the way it actually meant then. Then this word leisure would be the word, like, this would be understood that I gotta, like, put back in. So in other words, I've poured out, but if I'm going to leisure, I am going to actually have to, like, fill the cup back up. So if you imagine just a cup, you know, and you empty it out, you can only pour out so much before you fill the thing back up. And so what Jesus was communicating to his disciples and these apostles is, look, we need to get ourselves into a place, because you've had this outpour, where you can get something put back into you. Yeah. They even said, like, they didn't have time to eat, which is very literal, right? This is not like your fifth grade literal, like, I literally died. It was crazy. Like, all right, you're with me. Figuratively. Okay, anyway. This is very literal. The Bible's actually saying, like, they literally didn't even have time to eat. It was a picture that they have no time to put into themselves, not even naturally speaking. Jesus is recognizing there's a spiritual outpour, so I need to get some stuff put back in. So there needs to be a spiritual fill. And here's the problem, I think, just with the pace of our lives, is that it's go, 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 pour, 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 give, 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 so often that if we don't take the invitation that God gives to the old godly way, and just get away for a little while, have some leisure in our lives, eventually we're going to run out of things to give. Yeah. And it happens. It happens. It happens to members of our serve team sometimes, where it's like, I've been pouring out, and I'm just exhausted. People call it burnout. Yeah. Happens in business, happens in life, happens in work. And the problem is that we're pouring at a rate faster than we're receiving. Now, interestingly enough, the way God designed us is apparently we can pour a lot more than we need to take. I love that. Because God's like, hey, 6 days you're going to work, and then one day you're going to rest. And so what I'm simply trying to encourage all of us to do is simply this. Let's take the invitation. Let's pause and let's rest. Well, another verse I want to show you is this, that the Bible says, and I've gone to this multiple times recently, the Bible says that Jesus often withdrew. Often he would get away to the wilderness and he would pray. So he would often separate and let God fill him back up, because if anybody was pulled on, it would have been Christ. I mean, if anybody had an outpour, it was Jesus, certainly. And so the Bible tells us that he would often do it, which I think is a great example. And here's what I want to say to you, okay? Because next week I'm going to talk about one of the most volatile things I honestly think I've ever studied. I couldn't believe it. And that is Sabbath. It blew my mind, the argument that could be had about a day of rest. And the difference of opinion, oh my goodness, it's insane. It's crazy. And I'm gonna talk about it next Sunday, this Sabbath day of rest. And here's what I believe with all of my heart, okay? I actually believe that resting, this invitation, so we're encouraged to work. We saw all those scriptures. If you don't work, you don't eat. And the farmer should get the first fruits and whatever, whatever. We saw the scripture. We're encouraged to do it, but we're invited to rest. I actually see rest in the kingdom the same way I see giving in the kingdom, fasting in the kingdom, praying in the kingdom. Can I say something that's probably bold here? Like, you don't have to do any of those things to know Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
But you're so much better if you do.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
You just are.
Yes.
You're so much better if you do. You don't have to rest. You can just go, man. You can just be that guy. You can just be the one. You can be the first woman to ever achieve the thing because you leaned in like no one else would. You can achieve that goal and hit that mark. And listen, I encourage that. You don't ever have to rest. You can pour out until you're burnout. But it's better if you'll find the old godly way and let the Father fill you.
Yeah.
To actually let him pour into you. That I've got something for you. So call a time out every once in a while. Pause a little bit. Take a break. Enjoy some things. Look back and say, man, what have I even accomplished, right? Like, what? Because the world and the pressure in our society constantly presses us for more. I need more money. I need more of a promotion. I need a newer car. I need a bigger TV. I need an outdoor kitchen because the neighbor's got one, and pavers, like whatever, right? I mean, I think we get it. I think we all get it. Constantly more, but there's this invitation. Hey, why don't you just enjoy leisure? Let me pour in to you. And what we'll discover, and I'm getting ahead of myself, what we'll discover next week is that real rest comes in the presence of God, not naps. Now, that can be part of it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm with you. It can be part of it. Not vacations, though that can be part of it. But real replenishment and real rest comes in the presence of God. That's where it is. And so it might include those things. We're going to talk about that in more detail next week, okay? So, but let me just finish today. Sound good? You guys are like, yeah, please finish. I got kids. All right. So listen, I want to encourage us as followers of Christ. There's three things we're going to do, okay? Three things. The first one, I'll go through these pretty quick, is we're going to work hard. I actually believe, listen to me, if you follow Christ Jesus, I actually think you should kind of set this standard around the workplace.
Amen.
So I don't think you should be the one that everybody's like, boy, I just wish Josh didn't work here. Lazy joker shows up late, never does his job, never does it correctly. Like, if we're followers of Christ, I think we should set the tone.
Yeah.
Like, work hard. Remember, we read it was one of the verses, like, work as if you're working for the Lord. Years ago, I'll tell you a quick story I don't have time for. Years ago, I was... I worked at UPS loading trucks. I actually worked here 12 hours a day on Wednesdays. I worked at Gander Mountain with my friend Cody over here, 3 8-hour days a week. And then I loaded UPS trucks 5 nights a week. I slept about 4 hours a day for a long season. I honestly look back, I'm like, I don't even know how I did. We talked about this the other day. I don't even understand how I did it. It was insane. And I got hired on as a seasonal guy. So just because Christmas was coming, you know, whatever. And I remember getting the job. And anyway, I'm not going to go into the fun details. It's crazy. I've done a lot of hard jobs. That's one of the toughest things I've ever done. So like mad props to all of you that deliver our mail every day to us. You guys are awesome. Okay. And so I remember in this job that I made a goal. And my goal was, I was like, I'm going to be the best hire that they make in the season. That was my goal. I want to be number one. And so I'm working hard, man, and I'm trying to make sure I get everything done right every time. And like, I'm on time every day, leaning in, staying extra, finding out what does the driver prefer. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to do your thing. I just wanted to be the best, everybody. I really did. That was my goal. And I was grinding hard and getting it done. And we get to this point where the seasonal people are all going away. And there were two people they invited. Hey, do you want to stay on after season? We'll hire you. And I was one of those two. So I accepted, like, yeah, because the competition's not over and I need the money. So I'm your guy. And so, it's true. And so I took the job. And I remember at one point, y'all, this is no joke. At one point, I just recognized, like, I'm not going to say the guy's name because he lives in town, whatever. But I was like thinking, like, I'm going to call him Frank. I was like, Frank's going to beat me. I tried my best, but Frank's just better than me. Like, I hated to admit it because I'm a competitor, but I was like, all right, look, I was top two. That's cool. You know, I'll take it. Roll in there one morning. That had nothing to do with nothing. Rolled in there one morning. And I was like, where's Frank? Frank was never late. Where's Frank? I'm like, oh, bro, you didn't hear? I'm like, hear what? Like, after you left yesterday, he flipped out, threw stuff, had a freak out attack right there on the belt. They fired him. And I was like, I won. Yes! Work hard. Come on. That's true, Quentin. That happened. Amen. All right. I like having fun in church. All right. Second thing we're going to do. Listen, we're going to rest deep.
Yes.
Rest deep. This is language that actually is being planted into me right now by some of the voices in my life. This intentional language, work hard, rest deep. And so what I'm learning to do is like, yes, I allow myself to put the throttle on the floor and go. God wired me that way. I'm fulfilled in that way. But there's got to be points where I determine now's when I rest. And when I rest for real. It's deep rest. And God, I'm going to let you do your thing your way. So we will work hard, rest deep, and ready? Last one. Here we go. Rest regularly. Rest deep is good, but regular rest is best. We need it. It's an invitation. So listen, you're encouraged by God to work hard. So go get on your grind, do your thing. And listen, I'm going to applaud you because I champion that kind of thing. I love hardworking people. I really do. I think God loves hardworking people. My opinion is irrelevant. It's what God thinks. And I think he does. But at the same time, he's like, hey, if you're going to go hard, then make sure you rest deep, get real replenishing rest, and then rest regularly. And so what we'll do next week, all right, this one really sets us up. What we'll do next week is we'll kind of look at like how. I'll be more practical next Sunday. So what does that look like? How does that materialize? And I'll try to be as practical as possible so we actually can like put it into practice in our everyday lives. That sound good, everybody? All right, listen, for time, I'm going to end right here. This is the verse. I think I repeated almost every verse today. I've used them already in the series. And so, like, I'm not trying to be creative. I'm trying to be helpful. So I'm just bringing, like, this is God's word. And here's what I want to say. It's the words of Jesus. Jesus declares, he says this, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Amen. Rest is found in Christ alone. And so what I want to communicate to us right now, whether you're online or in this building, sitting in overflow, wherever you may be, I actually believe that there are two kinds of people that I could be communicating to. And one is the follower of Jesus. You've had a salvation moment. You've made a decision to walk with him. But maybe you're far from him right now. Maybe it's because pace and busyness and life, whatever it might be, has just gotten you far from God. Could be a sinful disruption in your life. It could just be whatever it is. Listen, you just apply it. Jesus is giving you the same invitation. Come to me. Can I just declare something for somebody that probably needs to hear this? He is not angry at you.
Amen. Amen.
The language of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is come. Come. Yeah, but I got all these issues. No, like I know. Come. Come. That's why you're burdened and all that weight. But if you'll come, I'll give you rest. I'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. Come to me. And so I just want to give you, if I may, and I'll stand before God and be accountable for these words. I want to give you permission to carry all your junk to Jesus. Just go to him with it. He knows, he sees it. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to get you. Okay? All right. There may be others of you that you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You're on the outside, if you will, looking in. Idiom. And you're like, look, I want to be in the faith. I want to follow Jesus. Well, listen to me. Then the same invitation is for you. He says, just come. But I don't understand it all. I don't really know much about the church thing. I said, hey, I know. Just come. I'll give you rest. I'm going to help you with that. So every head bowed, every eye closed. No matter which of those you are, I'm going to pray for us both. And so if you're the follower of Jesus that's just far from God right now, for whatever the reason may be, I just want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you would just come back to Jesus. His mercy, the Bible says, is new every morning. So I'm going to pray for you very quickly. Father, I pray for those of us that are in the faith, that know you, that follow you. I just want to pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that if there's anything that's creating separation in us between you, if we're heavy, if we're burdened, if we're overwhelmed, if we're stressed out, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would just help us to understand that the invitation is very clear. Come. Come to me. I give you rest. I will give you the rest. And I pray for every person, Lord God, in this room that may be feeling that way, that you would, in fact, give them the rest. Help them to offload the burdens and the heavy things in their lives. Help them, Lord God, to prioritize, rearrange, reset some things so, Father, they can be near you and close to you and stay in a restful place with you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now, every head still bowed, every eye still closed, just for another moment. I'm going to look right into the camera to those tuning in online. And I want the voice of my voice to be heard by those sitting in this room. But maybe you're listening. You've never made a decision to follow Jesus for whatever reason. But maybe today the Holy Spirit has been doing something in your heart and you feel that beckoning, that invitation. He's like inviting you in and you actually want to come. Well, that's because the voice of Jesus has made it clear. Come to me. Come. I'm going to give you rest. And so for those that have never made a decision to follow Jesus, this is your moment. This is your moment. And I just want to invite you to step into a relationship with him. And you might say, well, how do I do that? I'm going to help you. So I'm not going to ask you to stand or walk to the front or any of that stuff. I'm simply going to ask you to say a prayer with me. I actually think the part I can't do, that's the heart part, God's already done. But the language part, well, that's where he calls me. I can help you with that. And so every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody tuning in online, in overflow or in the auditorium, I want to invite you to repeat a prayer with me. Now, some of you are going to say it for the very first time. Others of you are going to say it to help out the person saying it for the first time. I'd love every voice. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and celebrate those that made that life-changing decision. That's awesome.